first day of 2006. Most of the population is sleeping from the celebrations of last night. We're ringing in the new year with the holy names, like we rang out the old year. To us, the new year doesn't mean that much. We still do what we do. But I do thank you for coming. Today we have a treat. We're following along with the text of the Srimad Bhagavatam about Lord Nrisimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj. But I've been requested to tell the Vaishnava history, the story of how Krishna consciousness came to England in the 1960s and 70s. And that's part of our story, part of our history. And since I was there, it was requested that somehow or other we'll combine the text with that story. So let us begin. So here we are in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yesterday, Prahlad Maharaj was contemplating the protection of Lord Nrisimhadev. And it left off where Harivasa worships Lord Nrisimhadev by chanting the following mantra. So here's the mantra. I'm going to read the English translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitful activity in the material world. So not only does Lord Nrisimhadev protect the devotees, but he also can vanquish our impure thoughts. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4, 22-39, Sanat Kumar speaks the following words to Maharaj Prithu. Yat para pankyaja pulasa vilasa bhaktya. Karma sayam gritam ugvata yanti santaha tadva no rikta maktayo yatayo pi rudra shrad guna tam arnam bhaja vasudevam. Devotees always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet can be very easily become free from hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is a very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis, and yogis cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Every living being within the material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to its fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul may accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruitive desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure bhakti devotional service as follows. Anya bilasata sanya jnana karmadi anabratyam Ankuleyana Krishnayu Silanam Bhaktir Uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. unless one is completely free of all material desires which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make the bodily comfortable, and for this they require large amounts of gold. Thus, Hiranyakashipu was the perfect representation of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Nrsinga killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desire should offer his respectful prayers to Nrsingadev or Prahlad Maharaj, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. So if someone's having difficulty with their material desires, rather than dwelling on the difficulty, the alternative is to engage in pure devotional service. This will vanquish the unending material desires that will come life after life. We will get better bodies for material enjoyment if that's what we wish in our next life. The human form of life is not as adept as some of the animalistic forms of life for material enjoyment. So as a human, now we can make the choice. This is the difference between humans and animals. One of the differences that we can make the choice to find out the question, who am I? Animals go along, but they cannot always ask or have a conception of who am I in the overall schemata of life in the universe. But human form can ask, who am I? And what is this devotional idea of who am I? We are servant of God. We have a relationship with Krishna, and we can develop this relationship. So when we develop this relationship, this counteracts the material desires. We're acting, and by this action, we're pushing out the material desires. By just wishing or dwelling or speculating on becoming Krishna conscious is difficult. Actions are always the best panacea, best cure for any disease. So, like Prahlad, the world will test us. As we were saying yesterday, Hiranyakashipu was not only harassing Prahlad Maharaj, but he was trying to kill him in many ways. And Krishna was always protecting. And then he came in the form of Lord Nrsingadev because he had to get around all these boons that Hiranyakashipu was awarded. So similarly, the material world was not embracing Krishna consciousness, and yet Srila Prabhupada asked six of us, well, seven, little baby Saraswati is a full entity, so seven of us to go to England, because this was the desire of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who sent three of the topmost sannyasi to Great Britain in 1942 to establish Krishna consciousness. Maybe it was because of the war or whatever, but they came back to India, and they had encouraged one or two people, but there wasn't a great wave of Krishna consciousness at that time. And so because of that, Srila Prabhupada asked three Grihastha couples and a baby to go to England because he thought that they would be able to do something for Krishna there. So, we didn't have any money, very little money. Some money came from a circuitous route to Samashunda from some old bad karma, which turned into good karma. And so we had some money, but actually Srila Prabhupada, I don't know where he took it from. We were sitting in the room in Montreal, and either it was in his sleeve or someplace, but he took out some money and gave it to us. He's like our father. You're going, so now here's some money. So we had $1,000 between us. But in Great Britain at the time, usually if you didn't have a return ticket or you didn't have more money, they would not want you to come in to Great Britain. So with the $1,000, we went to Amsterdam first. And because there were seven of us, what we did was first Samashunda and Malati took the $1,000 and entered Great Britain. And they said, here's our $1,000. Then they were in Great Britain, and then they sent the $1,000 back to us in Amsterdam. And then Jamuna and myself used the $1,000, and we went into Great Britain. And then we sent the $1,000 to Mukunda and Janaki, who brought it into Britain, said, here, we have $1,000. So then we were reunited. We had two names only, one Dr. Coley, who we didn't know. And so we went to Dr. Coley's house, and we had a member of parliament, Tom Dreeberg, his name. And he helped us out later. So now we were in the suburbs of London, and we started to have kirtan programs at Dr. Coley's, and he let us stay in another house he had, but then he started charging rent, and so we decided it's better for us to go into the center of London, because we were too far out in the suburbs for people to come to. One of the other things we had decided before leaving San Francisco was that because this group, singing group called the Beatles, was becoming popular, we thought it would be very nice if we could meet the Beatles and influence them with Krishna consciousness. Now, this is like Prahlad, fearless, like our spiritual master, Abhoy Charan. Fearless because he takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. This was one of the upcoming musical groups in the world, and ordinary people probably would not think that we could even get to meet them, but we were so much filled with enthusiasm and belief in Krishna consciousness that we were able to think that we could meet the Beatles. So, this is a book called By His Example. And the second chapter, the third chapter is England. So, here it says, how we made these handbills. And they were the eyes of Prabhupada. And we We put the eyes of Srila Prabhupada and we put the title, Krishna Consciousness is Coming. And we printed 10,000 of the eyes of Prabhupada. That's 20,000 Prabhupada eyes. And we went on the rooftop of Oxford Street and we threw them off different roofs. And so people were seeing these handles come from the roofs. Krishna Consciousness is Coming. And they were wondering, what is this, Krishna Consciousness? And so then we met some people in the underground. The underground is, they were hippies. And in San Francisco, we were friends with the hippies. They would come to the temple a lot. Prabhupada was even asked, why is your temple in the Haight-Ashbury, which is the home of the hippies? And Prabhupada simply said, because the rent is inexpensive. He wasn't looking for anybody special. But then he was accused by the same reporter that you are preaching to hippies. And Prabhupada said, these are not hippies, these are happies. Because he actually made us happy. Hippie life is very pleasurable, just like Hiranyakashipu. We didn't have golden beds, but it's very pleasurable. And so Prabhupada was able to change our consciousness from this very pleasurable life into happies, so becoming clean and pure and Krishna consciousness slowly. So we met the people from the underground newspaper in England. And in actuality, I had a whole series of paintings of Prahlad Maharaj. This whole story of Prahlad Maharaj was done on wooden canvases by Govinda Dasi and Gorsundar in San Francisco. And I photographed them and brought them to England. So in the underground newspaper, we put the story of Prahlad Maharaj. A very wealthy man read this underground newspaper. He was connected. And right down the street was the new place of the underground newspaper. And where they were stored was a four-story building. And the rich man who owned the building said, why don't you move in to the building? And he let us have one floor to sleep in. And he let us have the place where the books were stored. And Malati lived in a big box there. And we had cold showers on that floor. And soon he gave us another floor. And we were able to make a temple room, and then sleeping quarters. And on the top floor was the black Muslims. And this is a group in the United States that was somewhat violent. But because I was involved in the civil rights movement before I became a devotee, I heard and knew the philosophy of the black Muslims. And I heard their leader, Malcolm X, who was a very good speaker. And he changed his consciousness. First, it was a small sect, the black Muslims, and they were violent. But soon he realized it's bigger than just here. There's Muslims all over the world. And they're not just violent. And so, because I knew of his philosophy, I was able to make friends with Michael X, who was connected with Malcolm X, and he was starting a branch in England. In the book it explains that I even helped to keep him out of jail. So it was a strange mixture because they still were the black Muslims on the top floor, but we got along fine. Eventually they left, and so the whole building was our temple. And now people started to come. Right around the corner was a famous place called the Arts Laboratory, where all the young people came in England, and the squatters who squatted in buildings came there, and artists. And even someone named Christine Keeler, who was involved in the Profumo scandal of Great Britain, which brought the government down for a while. And she came to the Arts Laboratory. So a lot of interesting people were there, and we performed, or we gave kirtan program 3 nights a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And people were coming to hear the holy names. But we still wanted to meet the Beatles. So we started to do programs, and we went to one. There's something called All Souls Day in England. And we went to a program at All Souls Day, and there we saw there was an apple that had feet, and you wound the apple up, and it walked. So this was given to us as a gift. And we wrote the Hare Krishna mantra on the apple and sent it to Apple Records, the Beatles company. Here's an apple for you with the Krishna conscious mantra. Then the next day we sent one part of the Prahlad story. It was in one of the underground newspapers. Then the next day we sent the other part of the Prahlad story. The next day we sent the Brahma Samhita prayers. Govinda, Madhi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. We made a recording of this, which became very, it's played in the temple every morning, you know. So we sent them that in a rough tape. But nobody responded. Apparently they either threw it in the rubbish bin or just didn't pay any attention to us. But in the meantime, Prabhupada made a recording on the Happening label, singing the Maha Mantra in New York, and in the nice music boxes that we play, that is the tune that Prabhupada sung. And the Beatles had that long playing record. So they had heard the Maha Mantra before we got to England. But George Harrison, somehow or other, heard that we were in town because we started to go out on programs, and the Arts Laboratory was one of the sinusoids, one of the centers of young people's activities. Somehow or other, George heard that we were there, and he asked if he could come and meet us. And of course we said yes, and then he came in a Rolls Royce, and we had dinner with him. And it was very lovely. We chanted, and we made wonderful prasadam. We had the best cooks in the movement at that point. Jamuna ended up writing a prize-winning cookbook. So I started out skinny as a devotee, but because she cooks so well, this is one of the results. And she cooked very nice for George, and he especially liked the lassis. And I remember he and I went to the wash our hands together, and I felt like he was a friend. He wasn't a rock demigod. He wasn't a great musician. He wasn't one of the wealthiest men in the world. He was so, I wouldn't say humble, but non-assuming. He was just very simple and very nice person, and he loved our prasadam, and he loved chanting already. And we were washing our hands together like friends. Chanaka Pandit says, if you walk 7 steps together with somebody. They're your friend. So we walked the seven steps to the wash basin, and I put in my two paisa of Krishna consciousness. I said, Krishna consciousness is a cleansing process, just like we're washing our hands. And he very much liked his time with us. Meanwhile, we got a correspondence from San Francisco. The Hells Angels and the Grateful Dead were coming. Now, the Grateful Dead is another rock group in San Francisco, and it had a huge following, and still does to this day. And the Grateful Dead philosophy is sharing and love. And we knew the managers of the Grateful Dead. Shama Sundar was the roommate of one of the managers in the college, Rock Scully. And so Rock Scully wrote his old friend, Shama Sundar, that we're coming to England, and can you put us up? And so Shama Sundar, we wrote back, yes, come on. And they came, two managers of the Grateful Dead, a famous writer named Ken Kesey, a Buddhist, an American Buddhist, and two Hells Angels. Now, Hells Angels was a motorcycle gang, and the Hells Angels were very rough. They would ride into towns, actual towns, and take over the town. They were very boisterous, and they would break things and beat people, and they were very violent and known for this. And so here is this entourage of two Hells Angels and their girlfriends. And their girlfriends, actually, out of their handbags were weapons. We could see weapons. Like, well, I'll get to that. So, two Hells Angels, two women, weapons, Ken Kesey, a Buddhist, and two managers of the Grateful Dead, plus two motorcycles. They paid £500 on the airplane to bring their motorcycles, because this is the Hells Angels rode motorcycles. So they came to our place, and the Hells Angels had big boots. And so we had to say, please take your boots off. Now, earlier in San Francisco, we had some interaction with the Hells Angels, because right next to our temple was one of the headquarters of the Hells Angels. And one time, I'm going back in time, one time while we were chanting, we would chant for an hour and a half. Again, in San Francisco, there was not a great number of books at the time. And so our main activity was chanting. And we would do it three times a week, and Prabhupada would play the bongo drums. No mridangas yet. And so when the chanting stopped, we heard thumping on the wall. Boom, boom, boom. So Swamiji looks over at me and says, come on. Yes, yes, Swamiji. Find out what that thumping is. So I go out, and I go next door, and I'm thinking, why me? Why didn't he ask somebody else? But, you know, this is Krishna, and I'm not the controller. So I knock on the door, and a Hell's Angel answers it. And he has swastika, the German swastika, not the Aryan swastika. And he's got tattoos, and he's very large and rough. And I simply had my bead bag and robes, and I just said, please, our Swamiji is starting to speak, and he was wondering what the thumping on the wall was, and wondering if you could not do it. And he said, well, man, I did it because of the music. we liked the music. And so one of their things was they were banging up against the wall. So they said, now if your Swami's going to talk, then we'll be quiet because, and this is a compliment, he said, because your Swami is the heaviest. He said, your Swami is the heaviest. I said, that's very interesting because one of the translations for guru is heavy. One of the meanings of guru is heavy. So they became our neighbors and our friends. In fact, at our mantra rock dance, everybody was most afraid of the Hell's Angels spoiling the celebrations. They did it at a place called Altamont, and people were actually killed at that concert. It was a Rolling Stone concert, and the Hell's Angels actually killed some people. So this was not necessarily a lightweight thing. But because they were our friends and everybody was afraid of the Hell's Angels, we said, why don't you become our security force? Because they were the only ones we were afraid of. And if they were our security force, we were secure. So they became our security. So now here we are back in England, and we're hosting the Oakland branch of Hell's Angels, which was known as even this Sonny Barga, his name was Sonny Barga, was the roughest of the rough. And yet, they were very nice. And we fed them full of prasadam. And maybe because of jet lag, or maybe because of prasadam, or maybe because of Krishna, they fell asleep on the floor. And it was like the Pandavas in the Mahabharata, when they were able to take the weapons of their enemies when they fell asleep. We didn't take their weapons, but we could have. And then we had a film from Boston of Prabhupada. It was one of the first films. And they sent it to us, and we showed it after dinner. And it was simply Prabhupada walking in Boston. And Prabhupada would sort of look towards the camera. We'd see the white of his eyes, and we'd go, oh, Swamiji's looking towards us. But to the Hell's Angels, this was just an old man, and they fell asleep, like I said. Ken Kesey stayed awake. The women fell asleep. Rock Scully and Danny Rifkin, the other manager, fell asleep. But Ken Kesey stayed awake, and he said, why do you need guru? And I said, because in any kind of thing of learning, there are books and teachers. And you have the choice to do a trial and error method of learning or learn from someone who already has learned. So he said, that's a good answer. That you need teachers. And I gave the example that if someone's a doctor, they can do a trial and error method of operation or learn actually how to do it. So Ken Kesey became my friend, and he actually moved to England, and he became a vegetarian for a while. What time do we have till? To when? Anytime? 9:30. So now, the Hell's Angels, after a while, woke up, and they decided they wanted to go out, and where should they go? So we said, well, go to the arts laboratory. And I remember Mukunda Maharaj was helping them to set up a branch in England of the Hell's Angels. And Mukunda Maharaj was saying, well, you could go to the arts laboratory and you could meet this person. The people who ran the arts laboratory decided to put on a big music event. Well, not they called it the Alchemical Wedding. It was a different kind of an event. It wasn't a usual concert. It was a gathering of the young tribes of people. And nothing was exactly planned, but they wanted to try to have an evening of silence. And they invited us, but I said to them, now, sometimes silence also means chanting the Maha Mantra. So if we come, we may chant. They said, you are part of this fabric of the underground. You're important in our community, so please come. So we then had a plan that we would bring our instruments, and even though they were trying to be silent, at some point we would start chanting. We just needed some sign, some omen. So, also at that event was Ken Kesey, who came, and the Hells Angels, and the Grateful Dead, and John and Yoko Lennon were also there, and they were starting to walk around England in a canvas bubble because they were becoming famous. Sometimes they were invited to get an award or something, and they showed up in this canvas bag, and they said it's like a Zen Buddhist thing where we're there but not there. Because actually they were getting tired of so much notoriety. And so they were saying, their philosophical point was, it may not be us in this bag. In other words, in a sense, they were saying, we're not this body. They were saying, we're not this body. You see this bag, but you don't know what's inside. And in fact, there was an event where they were receiving an award, and they came to Jamuna and myself and said, would you please get in the bag and receive the award for us? Well, I was president of the London Temple, and I decided to have a modicum of decorum and not get in the bag. I should have gotten in the bag, but instead we sent Suri Das and Jyotila. Now, Suri Das was a French-Algerian fellow with a strong accent, like French-Algerian accent, and Jyotila was taller than him, and she was Irish, and she had a little bit of an Irish accent. And they got in the bag, and the reporters reported it was definitely John and Yoko in the bag. And it wasn't. It was Suri Das and Jyotila in the bag. But the reporters, even though they heard the accents, they said, it's John and Yoko. Now, because Jyotila was taller, they thought Jyotila was John Lennon. And Suri Das was Yoko Ono. So John Lennon and Yoko Ono were also at this event, the Alchemical Wedding. Well, there was silence for a while, and they also put a line in the middle of the floor, and the law of the evening was that no one should step over the line. So they were making this event like unique, new, never done before. So there was a line in the middle of the floor. Now, this was in Royal Albert Hall, by the way. This was in the main concert hall of England, where kings would be, Royal Albert Hall. So everybody was silent. Then somebody yelled out, Strawberry Fields Forever, which was one of the Beatles' songs. Then somebody yelled out, Om. This was our signal, Om. We started playing mridangas and kartals. We came from six different directions. Malati always had her hands full, so she was playing instruments and Saraswati being carried. And we descended, and the whole place erupted. And they started chanting. By now, people were familiar with the chant. and they started chanting. And so now the line was there, and we reached the line, and we weren't supposed to step over the line, so we just stepped on it, and we chanted on the line, and everybody started chanting. And then they put the microphones on, and I got up on the microphone, and there was a band that started to play with the chant. And so the band played, and we chanted, and the whole place erupted into sound. And the management of the Royal Albert Hall was afraid that it would be too much of an event for Royal Albert Hall, so they turned the microphones off. Meanwhile, I was photographing as well as chanting, and after the event, I took the photographs to Fleet Street, the newspaper area of London, and got them developed. And the pictures were very nice, and I sent them, we put an article in the newspaper. And it said, Mad Raven at Royal Albert Hall. And I had actually a press release that would be favorable for us, but they didn't print it. So still, the pictures were nice, and the article was very nice. And so I took the mad out and sent to Prabhupada a picture of us dancing on the front page of the newspaper, and it just said, Raven at Albert Hall. And Prabhupada was very, very happy, because soon after, another article came, because we were chanting in the streets, and a very important reporter interviewed us, and he liked us so much that at the end of the article, he said, and then the Hare Krishnas are thinking of chanting in front of the London Stock Exchange, and what will happen, only Krishna knows. And so it was a very, very nice article. So we were able to send both the articles to Prabhupada in the United States. So now, here is John and Yoko, and now they also experienced the chant, and they were favorable. But the Hell's Angels were restless. They were still in England, and they had nothing to do. So they decided, we're going to go, and the trash, this is the verb, trash, which means break up, smash things. They were going to go to the Beatles, because if we're going to trash something, we might as well trash something very important. So they went to the Beatles office, Apple offices on Savile Row. Well, as it was, Krishna's grace, Samashunda happened to be there. And because the Hell's Angels knew Samashunda, and George Harrison was there, somehow or other, they were convinced to not trash the Apple offices. So now, the Beatles thought, we owe these people something. So again, we sent the tape of the Brahma Samhita, the Govindam prayers, and we said, we would like to record this with you. And George immediately got excited about it, George Harrison. He got excited, and Mukunda, being a musician, made a arrangement, and George Harrison himself played the guitar on it, and we recorded, and it's played in the temple every morning. And so this is how we started our recording with the Beatles. We also, actually, before we did the Brahma Samhita prayers, the first thing we recorded was a version of the Maha Mantra. And how it worked is we were a chorus. We would chant on our own, like there would be four of us chanting, and then there'd be eight, and then 16 and 32. It would be like that progression. we were chanting on our own voices, so it sounded like a magnificent, well-tuned chorus that sounded like each other, but it was our own voices. And then music was put on it, and at the very end of the Maha Mantra, there was a big gong, and Malati banged the gong, and we thought, oh, this was the timing of the gong was off, and we would have to do the whole thing again. But actually, the timing of the gong was perfect. And inside the technician's booth was Paul McCartney, one of the other Beatles. And Paul McCartney's wife, Linda Eastman, came from a very wealthy family. They thought it was the Eastman Kodak film family, but it was another wealthy family. Father was a music lawyer. But I happened to go to high school with Linda Eastman. And so when we got to the control booth, we were listening back, and after it, I said, you know, we went to high school together. And she thought, no. Because it was a wealthy town, that she said, nobody from Scarsdale would become a monk and shave their heads and wear robes and live simply. And she said, no, you're not from my hometown. Well, I happened to be in the same class, and I said, well, we were in Mr. Steele's class together. And this was not in any fan magazine. This was an esoteric fact that nobody knew. So she realized, yes, this person did go to live in the hometown. And again she said, oh, I didn't think anybody from Scarsdale would become a monk. And I said, why not? Krishna owns Scarsdale too. It's a very wealthy place. So she said, well, Paul is my God. So we're becoming friendly now and recording, and this was a very big thing. But, you know, we also said this is one part of the community, but we want to meet everybody. We want to meet everybody in England, all walks of life. So we started to meet ambassadors. And then there was a member of parliament named Tom Dreeberg. And as I said, we had a letter to him from someone named Allen Ginsberg. Prabhupada called him Ginsberg. He came to see Prabhupada in San Francisco, and he was a famous poet, and I photographed their meeting. And so it's in the chapter of San Francisco. And so because he liked us, he decided that he had this friend. It's hard to see, but there's Allen Ginsberg and Prabhupada. There's many nice photographs. So Allen Ginsberg gave us a letter to this Tom Dreeberg, who was a member of parliament. So, meanwhile, I was waiting in a bank line, the Charter Bank of England, and there was someone who knew us from San Francisco, and he had a building in London, a Bible dispensary, 5 stories, right in the heart of London, 1.5 streets from the British Museum, right near Piccadilly Circus, right near everything, High Holborn, Tottenham Court Road, everything right in the center of London. We couldn't ask for a better location for a preaching branch. And so we were able... Well, we tried to get this building, but they wouldn't give it to us. But George Harrison became our guarantor. And he said, if they can't pay, I will pay. Previously, one of our neighbors was making trouble, Mr. French. Well, he was saying they should not come in here because they make too much noise. Well, when the person saw George Harrison's name on our solicitation for this building, he threw it through Mr. French's complaints into the rubbish bin. So we moved in. But it was too loud for Mr. French. He claimed that our morning kirtan, his little dog would jump up and down and bark, and his wife would become sick. So we tried to make the room soundproof. In fact, we came from San Francisco we sent a shipload of redwood, which is a special wood from California, because Sam Ashundo is an architect by schooling. He thought we can someday make a nice temple when we find a building with this wood. This is a pretty grandiose concept. Sam Ashundo always had grandiose ideas with his architect. He built the Jagannath car too high and too heavy. The altar collapsed, which I'll get to later. It was too heavy. Prabhupada's Vyasasam looked like something from Alice in Wonderland. And the temple looked like an upside-down ship. It looked like we were in a ship of redwood. But we were trying to make it soundproof for Mr. French and all the neighbors. He was complaining. This Mr. Dryberg, the member of parliament, came to our rescue. And we had a meeting with the Greater London Council and solicitors. So Mr. French got his solicitor, who was the fencing champion of England. He was an Olympic fencing champion and a solicitor. We got the Prime Minister's solicitor. He didn't need to be a fencing champion. So we had this meeting, but then we were going to show them that this temple was soundproof. But when we closed the door, you could still hear the kirtan. You could still hear the kirtan, and it was loud, and Mr. French lived in the next building, and it was true. If it was a loud kirtan, he could hear it early in the morning. So we decided we were going to play a trick because we needed to get this building. So in the door was a window, the door to the temple, and it closed, and we really tried to make it a big soundproof door. And so when the door was open, we were chanting. And the idea is when the door closed, if you couldn't hear it right in the hall, then how could it go to Mr. French's house right in the next apartment building? So here's what we did. This is a madanga, like we're playing the madanga or kartals. And the door's open. And as soon as the door closed, and you can see through it, and all this, the two solicitors, the Greater London Council and Mr. French, they're all squeezing to see in this door, and the door closed, and so here's the kartals, and the door closed, and so we're going, it's like, and then we're done, and we're playing like that, and we're chanting without chanting. And they said to Mr. French, how can you hear it in the next building? As soon as the door closed, you couldn't hear it. So we go upstairs. We borrowed some chairs from the Theosophical Society. Everybody's sitting down. And Mr. French gets very angry. And he says, it's a bloody trick. And he tries to leave. And as he's leaving, his solicitor, the fencing champion. He looks like he was fencing. He said, "Just as we're coming to the crunch, you leave?" And Mr. French says, "Yes, I'm leaving." And as he does, the doorknob comes off on the door. And he had to crawl. He had to get the door open. And as he got the door open, about 20 sleeping bags fell out from behind the door. And it was only zoned for two caretakers. But they overlooked the sleeping bags because Mr. French made such a scene. And they said, "Well, he's claiming that there's so much noise, and there isn't." So they okayed us to have a temple there on Bury Place. And Mr. French, we said, "Well, we'll move into his apartment. We won't complain." So actually, they gave Mr. French another place to live, so he was happy too. So that's how the Bury Place Temple came about. And a lot of it had to do with this Mr. Tom Dreeberg, the Member of Parliament, because he wrote letters on our behalf too. Well, as it turned out in this history of life that's so fascinating in this Krishna-conscious adventure, because it is an adventure. If you go out and preach, there's challenges, there's people to reach, you have to use your intelligence. So as it turned out, Tom Dreeberg ended up being shown to be a KGB agent. He was a double agent for the Russians and England. And he also was a sad man, and he lived alone in a church, but he was a very spiritual man as well, and he had us come to the church, and he would sometimes quote Bhagavad Gita when he would give sermons in the church. But he also sometimes would drink too heavily, and I remember one time we saw him falling down drunk on the street, and we were at Piccadilly Circus, and we were chanting. And we asked people for donations, and I remember he emptied out his pockets, and pounds and pence were falling all over the street, and then he was falling all over us, and we actually took him to our Krishna van and drove him home that night. And actually, he did help us out a lot. So now, the Beatles owed us one, because we were able to prevent the Hells Angels from trashing their offices, and we had these recordings, and our single was the fastest growing single on Apple Records, even more than the Beatles singles, and it reached places like Czechoslovakia and Eastern Europe. And for a first recording, it was like number 9, and this was very good. And we were starting to become known in England. So now, because we were starting to be known, more and more people were coming. More and more people were coming, and now in our little place, on Bury, the 5-story dispensary, wasn't big enough. And there were men and women on all the floors. And Prabhupada pointed out, he said, "Because this is such a family," and he so kindly said, "and you are the father," because I was the president, "it is not artificial here. And because it's not artificial, the men and women are not mixing, even though they're on one floor here and one floor here, brahmacharis, brahmacharinis. This could be very difficult. But because we were such a family, that this didn't happen." And that was Prabhupada's proof of that. It's like this place. It's such a family, and it's not artificial. There's no point in being artificial. It's hard enough. and we were a family there. And because of that, as I say, Now there are so many people, that we needed a bigger place. And so George Harrison, now our friend, and Samashunda and Mukunda Janaki Malati went out to live with George Harrison. And in the meantime, the rest of the devotees moved to John Lennon's estate and helped him on the grounds. And in return for living there, we did some work. And he gave us a large temple room, which was an art gallery at one time. And Prabhupada moved out there, and we all lived together in John Lennon's estate. And it was a very nice time. And I told the story of the worm in Prabhupada yesterday, and that was on John Lennon's estate. And there were many things like that. There was once a butterfly, and Prabhupada put his finger out like this, and the butterfly actually jumped on Prabhupada's finger. And I was going to photograph it, but I thought it's going to make too much noise and the butterfly will fly away, which it did anyway, but it would have been a fantastic photograph. And then, soon after, Prabhupada said, open the window, because that butterfly won't have anything to eat in here, and the butterfly needs to go outside. And so I again was impressed upon how Prabhupada could think of all the living entities in the world, even the butterfly, just like Lord Rama, when the chipmunk was putting the earth in the ocean to make a bridge to Sri Lanka to help Lord Rama, and Hanuman was saying, get out of the way, I'm throwing big boulders to make this bridge. Sometimes it's a spider, but I like the chipmunk story. The chipmunk was putting the sand there, and Lord Rama bent down and pet the chipmunk, and that's how the chipmunk got its stripes. It's a famous story. So similarly, Prabhupada was thinking of all living entities. So we needed a bigger place. And George Harrison so kindly gave us Bhaktivedanta Manor. 17 acres. And at this time, Prabhupada then sent me and Jamuna and Samashunda and Malati and Saraswati to India here, because it was very important to come back here. But now we knew something. When we left San Francisco, we were still learning. Now we had shaved heads. Now we had books. Now we had experienced changing people's thoughts and consciousness and life by preaching to them, by feeding them prasadam, by chanting the holy names out in the middle of Piccadilly Circus. They would complain because people would come around and listen to the chant and it was obstructing traffic. So they tried to get us to stop. And they tried to arrest us. And we had a plan that when the policemen would arrest us, we would all go down like this. And Mandakini there and Jyotirmayi, they had these faces. And they were looking up at the policemen. And I had my camera. And I had Tamal Krishna had this Karmi's businessman's hat. And I had Tamal Krishna's hat. And I photographed the policemen looming over us. And we put it in the newspaper. And they still arrested myself and Yogeshwara. And so we went to trial. And they claimed that we were obstructing. And I said, well, where were we arrested? And they said, on Shaftesbury Avenue. And I said, Shaftesbury Avenue was on the way back to our temple. We weren't obstructing. And so the judge looks over at the policeman and said, is this true? And the policeman said, yes, it's true, it's Shaftesbury Avenue. So the judge says, then this case is not important. But he had to get his 2 cents in, so he said, but do you have to parade in the footpath in your costumes? And I said, these are not costumes, these are robes that represent the Lord, just like your robes represent the law. And he said, quite, case dismissed, case dismissed. So now we had the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and ironically enough, it was gotten from a Scottish woman. And the Scottish woman sold it to us, but she decided to take every fixture and everything that she could out. She sold us the building, but the inside things she was taking out for herself. And this caused a lot of sawdust. And we were getting ready for the inauguration, and somehow or other, a fire was lit. Not a fire, but a match. And a fire started inside the temple. And this is before the Abhishek or anything, before the inauguration. And so the fire brigade came to the Bhaktivedanta Manor and put out the fire. But then it was time for the Abhishek and the Yajna. So we built a very strong platform. When we did yajnas, we always had yajnas inside the temple, but, you know, you build a very strong platform. So we built a strong platform, and we started our yajna fire. Well, the fire brigade has just been leaving, and they're going around the building, and they decided to look in the window, and they just put out the fire, and they thought, well, these people are really crazy, because we just put out a fire, and then starting another fire. But we explained to them that this is the inauguration and we have this platform, and they checked us out. Actually, we also did because we were now a famous singing group, and we went all over Europe and the Festival of the Midnight Sun. And one of the events we did, we decided to do a fire yajna during the event. Meanwhile, the other rock group was lighting off firecrackers and breaking guitars, but they decided to carry our fire yajna out. But this is still a great success, and there are many, many stories of the success in Great Britain, but we were now accepted, and we had this beautiful Bhaktivedanta Manor. George Harrison charged us £1 a year. We had many people living there now, and we were well known, so it was successful, and now Prabhupada sent us into the next chapter of our history, go to the Holy Land of India, which I always wanted to go, and I asked him, in San Francisco, could I go to India and could I go to Vrindavan? Because I read a book, Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, and it had this chapter about Vrindavan, and his faith was tested. His brother sent him there with no money, and the people of Vrindavan welcomed him and gave him a train ticket and fed him. And there was a beautiful picture of Krishna in the book, and for some reason it resonated with me. And I don't even know why, but I asked Prabhupada, can I go to Vrindavan? And he remembered it and sent me there. But this is some of the story of how the British yatra started. Our time is up, but to some questions. Is there time for questions? Or Are any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you said that something about the weapons of the Hells Angels girlfriends, you'll tell us later. And was something about Shyamasundara Prabhu's Rath Yatra card that you said, you'll tell us later during that.
Oh, yes. Samashunda built the Rath Yatra cart too tall. It was higher than the wires in Piccadilly Circus in Marble Arch. So the first year we had to stop the cart and carry the deities on a palanquin to Trafalgar Square. So the second year it was still a big cart, but not too high, but it's heavy. The police thought it wouldn't, they were remembering the last year, and they thought this won't work. Well, There is a devotee named Naranarayan. I don't know if you know him, but he was our architect. He's quite bold and quite loud. And the police came, and because Mukunda did most of the dealings with the police, and because anybody with a shaved head to the police looked alike, they called us Mr. Grant. His name was Mr. Grant. So I was Mr. Grant. Naranarayan was Mr. Grant. So they said, Mr. Grant, this just won't do. It won't do. It won't get around the streets. It's too heavy. So Naranarayan said, why not give it a sporting chance? So they laid out a course for this. And at one of the angles, it was a 90-degree angle. A 90-degree angle, and for the car to make it was difficult. So, as it turned out, the police ended up pushing the cart, pulling the cart, and we were steering the cart. It was like the Jagannath Festival. And when it came to the 90-degree angle, the cart sailed across. And it made the obstacle course. And the police said, well, Mr. Grant, you can now have your festival. At that point, Naranarayan, oh, I forgot to say, he said this official, this is Naranarayan's words, this official that called us Mr. Grant looked like a Pekingese dog with a nose made for punching, was his description. A nose made for punching, if you knew Naranarayan. So at this point, Naranarayan jumps off the car to this Pekingese-looking official and starts to sing the Nrisinga prayers. In his ears. And to Naranarayan, he said, and Lord Nrisinga was entering his heart. I think he was scared. But he was entering his heart, too. And so they said, okay, the car can go. And it was extremely successful. The second Rath Yatra festival, thousands and thousands of people came, and we this time it ended up at Trafalgar Square. We put on the Megrahi play, and it was very, very nice. So that's the story of that. Anything else? Thank you very much.